Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much, Lee, for sharing your stories. And thank you for working for God. Today we have announcements. The MCC Comfort Blitz is happening on the 17th. They're preparing for their Christmas open house already. I find Christmas exciting. Worship team will be meeting October 23rd. October 30th is our service of anointing, our service of healing. Anyone that is in need of emotional healing, physical healing, we would just like to take the opportunity to pray over you at that time. And my coins count is beginning soon, so save your coins. But first we're going to save coins and put them in the baby bottles, and then we're going to save coins for my coins count. Please remember that the Mosaic Conference is going to be in the beginning of November. And pray for our anointing service and pray for the leaders of this world that they make godly decisions, that they truly think and pray before they make decisions for this world. Are there any other announcements or prayer requests that I have missed at this point? Linda? We are having lunch today. Please stay for lunch. It's always delicious. Thank you to the ladies who have prepared it. I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. Paul is giving thanks for the gifts he has received. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 20. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things, all this, through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have made more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs. And my God will meet all your needs to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul had written to thank the Philippians for the gifts that they had sent to him, and he encourages the people to stand firm in the face of persecution and to rejoice regardless of the circumstances they find themselves in. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless this time shared together this morning. Let us be filled with your Spirit. Bless all those present, as well as the lives of those that we will encounter afterward. Ready us to make every moment count. Be with Lee and her organization this week. We thank you for their work in your name. Open our hearts to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We can rejoice in knowing that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. There are times in this fast-paced world when we find it difficult to be content. When we learn, what we really need to learn is that being content will lead us to a more simplified life where we can see God's love every moment. But that neighbor just built on that new addition, and I saw some beautiful clothes on that Kohl's commercial, and my coworker just got a new car, right? Sometimes we don't even realize that we are complaining. It's just very difficult to keep up with it, what is oh so cool in our society. We have so much. We've never gone hungry. It's my prayer that none of us have ever gone hungry. There's always something in that pantry. When I talk with my dad, who at one point lived in a home that was rented at a farm where his father was paid to train horses, they had one bed, and they had a hot pot that was their stove. And the only time he got the bed was when somebody was sick. When he was sick, he got the bed, and then his mom and sister would sleep on the floor or elsewhere. But you know what my dad will tell you? I was never poor. He never felt poor. His family provided a safe home for him. They gave thanks to the Lord for the things that they had. I feel like I say my dad was pretty poor at certain times of his life. And he'll say, I was never poor. Well, at college, when I was attending college, there were a few times where the cabinet was empty. And thankfully for us, we lived in an apartment right across the street from Sheetz's, which is sort of like a Wawa. And we would run over and buy our can of soup and crackers and a Diet Pepsi. And they knew us so well over there that they would call us all by name. And today, where I live now, we're very close to a Taco Bell and even to a Dairy Queen, which makes my mother very happy. So we're just minutes away from food. Our cabinets are never empty. We can be thankful that we've never felt hunger pains. Most of us have closets that are overflowing. My first home that I purchased and we were renovating had a hook in each room, or two hooks, but no closet. They had the clothing that they were wearing, and they had the clothing that was on the hooks, and they may have been blessed to have had the clothing that was in the washer and dryer at that time, or out hanging on the line. Really, we are blessed. And even more so, because we have those opportunities, and we're blessed in a church that provides those opportunities, where we are able to offer those blessings to other people, both near and far in this world. Today we learned about a clinic where we are able to provide and help women making decisions about giving birth to children. Wow, we are blessed. Philippians 4 occurs as the church of Philippi begins to blossom. They begin to share even more than they should. They had lost track of Paul for a while. He was in prison. He experienced a shipwreck. And he was now in Rome. And when they knew where he was, they provided for his financial needs. And Paul was thanking them, not necessarily for the finances, but he certainly appreciated them, but for their goodness and for their willingness to be givers. Paul knew that God would never forsake him, and that God will never forsake those who seek him. Godly giving does more for the giver than for the receiver. Godly giving does more for the giver than for the receiver. Paul was content. He had learned to be content in all circumstances. John 15:5, for without me you can do nothing. And Paul had God in his heart, and he had the words of Jesus in his heart. Paul had accepted Jesus and was satisfied in his walk with Christ. He was living as Jesus had lived, knowing that God would provide financially, physically, and spiritually, for himself and for all who believed. All that people needed to do was to turn to God. Take that moment. Turn to God in prayer. When I think of the missionaries of this world, they always rely on God. They always pursue the goal of living as Christ had lived. They depend on others, caring, giving, and strengthening their ministry. But their trust, their total trust, is in the Lord providing. Paul had basically been reduced to nothing at times, chained in jail cells. And he knew it was the grace of God that would carry him through these circumstances. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's verse 13. With the strength of Jesus Christ, Paul had achieved contentment. Take a nice deep breath in and breathe out. Oh, contentment. Contentment that God is in control. The more stuff that we seem to have, the more we abound with all of life's gifts, the more anxiety seems to sneak into our lives bit by bit. Half of this world does not have shoes. Remember that when we're trying on one pair, two pair, three pairs of shoes to see which one looks the best. Jesus calls on each of us to make a personal commitment to a new life. We may fall back, but we need to move forward continually, calling on God. He calls us to be believers. He calls us to be disciples. He does not want us to bless ourselves, but to live in a way that will bless others and glorify God. We can do that. We are His children. This world is so in need for the presence and the power of our loving God in all areas. We are blessed with the presence of the Holy Spirit that is within each of us as believers. Christians are to fearlessly follow Jesus as Lord of all life, walking the way He Himself walked, and walking in both the way He spoke and with the deeds that He did for others. Believing in the power of Christ leads to contentment. Contentment. And it produces peace within our relationships. You ever have a conversation with somebody who's not a believer or not believing what you believe in and is very aggravated or just persistent in their angst to make you believe the way they believe? Sometimes you end up feeling so tense and so unsure what's going on, like just to take that deep breath and pray and give it to God is the best thing to do, not to bicker back. Believing in the power of Christ leads to contentment, and it produces peace in our relationships. The Apostle Paul writes to encourage the Christians of Philippi to live joyfully in every circumstance. Paul is praising God for His provisions through His people. While in conversation many, many years ago with my ex-mother-in-law, who is in heaven now, bless her, I learned that she and her siblings used to pack a basket of food and walk across the yard to the trains that would be going from Richland Town to Quakertown, and they would be throwing the apples or handing bags over to the hobos that were in the trains. And one time they walked over and they found that this family was in this car on the train. And the mother turned around, and the girls had slips on, but the mother turned around and said, "Girls, take your dresses off." Now they had slips on. And all the kids took their dresses off. There were seven of them. I think it was three boys, four girls. The girls took their dresses off, and they threw the dresses onto the train. Wow. My mother-in-law, in her 70s when I met her, will never forget that story. She and her siblings will never forget that story. That act of giving, that act of love, that act of being Jesus as a child. I'm curious if any of you have ever had a story where you were impacted by an act of love that happened right in front of you. Perhaps it was toward you or toward someone else, an experience that left you in awe. If any of you would like to share that. Amen. Andrew, at that time, was your heart pounding? Like, what did you feel in your heart? You don't have to answer, but in your heart.
To see him a month later, pushing the shopping cart with my shoes on.
With your shoes on. Yeah. Little things. Walking and doing the deeds of Jesus. We heard stories from Lee this morning.
Growing up, we lived, the train tracks were right by our house, sort of by our house.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle Will would get, I don't know, 100 ears of corn, and we sucked corn. Anyway, and the trains would go by, one summer day, and we had lunch at corn that day. Anyway, the train stopped for some reason, and I'm not sure why, because it wasn't a stop there, it was just tracks. But anyway, we gave some corn to because at that time the caboose, there was a guy on the caboose, and we gave corn to the people on the track. And they were the workers, but
yeah.
I'll never forget that, because it just
something not planned. In the spur of the moment, there's a need, and you provide for that need. Wow. I pray that happens to all of us this week, that all of a sudden we have this opportunity to help someone. I read about a mom who would worry about the commercialism of faith and the effect that it would have on her children. They would go to church as a family, and she would guide her little ones into the right relationships. And she shares of a time when her children had friends over and they were climbing in the backyard and they were singing and laughing and their voices were loud with shouting, and she listened in closely, and her children were singing with the guests up in the tree, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." And then the next verse, it's a little different from what we're used to, but I love it. "All around this neighborhood, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to let it shine, shine, shine. All around the neighborhood." And then this, "All around this world of mine, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to let it shine, shine, shine. All around this world of mine." It's my world. It's your world. We need to take the opportunity to shine. It's our world. It's our neighborhood, it's our church, it's our community. Let your light shine. The mom shared that these children grew up to defend animal rights, to become good listeners, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. The parents gave the gift of a religious community wherein everyone was honored simply on the basis of their inherent natural worth. Their natural beauty, their natural intelligence, their natural faults, which we all have. Why do we call them faults? They're gifts. Each one of us is unique. Why can't we accept those that are different? We grow from our religious communities, and then we learn to take back into the world whatever we can, in small ways and in large ways. Our world can be made whole by the Spirit shining in each of us as we teach and as we model trust and hope and love in the world. With His grace, we are becoming the light of the world. His blessings for us abound. We are to allow our care to flourish through opportunities to share and bless someone else who is lost, who is shoeless, who is pregnant, who is hungry, lonely, ill, angry, scared, and poor. This following prayer was written by Kirk Struckmeyer. God of love, source of mercy and compassion, weave your dream for the world into the fabric of our lives. Remove the scales from our eyes and lift the indifference from our hearts so that we may see your vision and a new reign of justice and compassion that will renew the earth. Transform our lives so that we may accomplish your purpose. Anoint us with your spirit of love that we might bring good news to the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim release to the captive. Give us a new urgency and a new commitment to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, and visit those who live in isolation. Help us reach out to those whom no one else will touch. To accept the unacceptable and to embrace the enemy. Surround us with your love, fill us with your grace, and strengthen us with your service. Empower us to respond to the call of Jesus, to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses, and to follow. Make us your disciples, Lord. May we pray together. Father, wherever we go, let us spread love, joy, peace, goodness, and faithfulness. Lord, let our desire to become more like you and to worship you become our ways in all we do. May we find joy in serving you, Jesus. We pray that you will bless Lee and her organization, her co-workers, and the women she cares for. We thank you for always going before us, Lord. We give you thanks. In your precious name, amen.